You're listening to WTF at TFW.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Welcome, one and all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and cats and lizards, too, to WTF at TFW. This is Vangelis, and I'm wearing a top hat and a monocle, and I have a really, really squiggly thin mustache. And welcome to the podcast. With me here today is Aaron. Howdy. And Lupus Convoy.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
And Omegas Prime.
And tonight I am also dressed as a silent movie villain.
And we also were just talking about psychological chemistry. But since that's not suitable for a podcast, we're just going to talk to you today about Transformers, Robots in Disguise. And we have topics about them. We're going to open up with a panel from the San Diego Comic-Con that we didn't cover last week, which is the IDW comic panel. There was a couple bits of info here which were kind of interesting. Especially in particular, you know, since at least me and Aaron are kind of heavily into the comics thing. There are bits here that I myself found interesting and bits here that I myself found snarking on a little bit, but I'll just mention the points are, Revenge of the Fallen. There's going to be issues in here about Jetfire, RC and Ravage. There was apparently a lot of fans in the room who exploded in applause at various times, I assume. And they also hope to have issues about how Perceptor became dark and brooding, Bumblebee story, a Spike story, and a lot of stuff written by Mike Costa, who's also going to be doing a new ongoing series with art by Don Figueroa. They made the very strangely worded announcement of someone might bite the dust, end quote. Gasps were then heard throughout the room, quote, but then someone might not, end quote. The crowd broke out in laughter. I don't get it, but
people might wear pants or they might not.
I love the idea of this whole crowd gasping, like someone might die in the comic book. What? Character death in a Transformer book. Oh my God.
The question is, will there be resurrection?
There's also going to be a Transformers Bumblebee series written by Xander Cannon and illustrated by Chi. It's about, a tenuous truce with the humans and the Decepticons having left Earth. And there's also going to be a miniseries called Last Stand of the Wreckers, written and drawn by Nick Rosh, and thus automatically the best comic series this coming year, from my vantage, because Nick Rosh is sexy! Anyway, I want to get your guys' thoughts on whatever you want to talk about in this, so let's open up with my comic brother, Aaron!
Okay. First of all, I have to go kind of slip back a little bit on the IDW stuff. Whatever the last coda, or the first of the coda comics that just came out, where they were trying to do, we were talking about this a little bit pre-show.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to do G1 characters in movie style and failing horribly.
Yeah.
Horribly.
I actually think the idea.
Horribly.
The idea is definitely not one I'd shoot down. I think, hey, you know, G1 with lots of panel lines. We can try it. It's been done. Arguably, it's the Pat Lee style. But there were points in there where, for instance, Ironhide from the preview, it wasn't so much that Ironhide, you know, had panels on his face. It's that it literally looked like his skin had been ripped off because he looked skeletal. He looked like he was actually thin in places. And it looked like we were more so looking at his insides than his actual, like,
yeah, the
outer shell.
There are a lot of like super elongated necks with extra panel lines that made it look like vertebra, and I hope the art direction is going to go back to the nice flat comic book style.
Mm-hmm.
Comic style. It looks like they're again changing direction.
Surprise.
Yeah. It's that, you know, they tried to go this direction with All Hail and failed with it. What's this, as I'm pointing at the screen, the story with Perceptor, which explains why he becomes dark and brooding, didn't they already kind of explain that?
They did. He got shot through the head.
Yeah, where he'd, like, got the crap blasted out of him and was it Drift's spotlight?
Yes, yes. He got shot through the head.
Yeah,
and
where he got just destroyed because he was being all happy and jabbery and...
Yeah, and...
Kablammo. And, well, you know what? After somebody, you know, friggin' kills you, you might not be a chipper, cheery guy. You're gonna be dark and brooding.
I can understand that they'd want to add details to it, but I would agree that I think that the story was basically told without being told, because you see him get shot through the head. It's not a stretch to assume that that experience would make him a little bit, you know, less friendly.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just give him a tick and just let him smile a lot?
He twitches even more, because half his brain is gone.
Well, it's made him an incredible sharpshooter, so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was already a precision instrument, though.
Now he's a precision instrument of warfare!
Right. Yeah, I mean, the rest of it's, you know, okay, a series about Bumblebee, wow, really? You know, seeing as he's the thing that Hasbro is shoving down people's throats for the violent metaphor there.
Well, has Xander Cannon written anything else?
I
know of, or that you might know of?
It's not a familiar name to me.
I also don't really
again,
know...
I
don't know Mike Costa either. So, that's kind of a double-edged thing. I mean, like... Maybe someone out there, one of you guys, does know some of these guys have written, but for me, it's like, number one, I don't really have much confidence, but number two, it also means clean slate. Maybe, you know, if we're rolling the dice again, we'll roll a six this time.
Right. I don't know, it depends. Are you rolling with a D6 or a D20?
I sure hope it's not a D20 and I'm rolling this. Well, actually, with D20s, I never roll over 10, because I suck at D20s, even virtual ones, but that's a completely different story.
Well, the question is, are we, instead of Frumanisms, are we going to have Costaisms?
Yeah, maybe yeah. He'll have his whole set of cartoony tics that we can write entire Wikipedia entries about. Like in Mike Costa's story, Frenzy always says capiche or something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, IDW's Transformers books are getting closer and closer to me just not having them pulled anymore. And going to the comic shop and reading it, and if I like it, picking it up.
Yeah.
Back in the old Furman days, it was a automatic guaranteed I'm going to pick it up. Now it's starting to get closer to,
I think for me the question is, in the ongoing, whether or not the art we saw in the recent All Hail Megatron Coda issues, if that's an indication of what we'll be seeing in the ongoing, I'm a little less excited about it, but maybe it was just an experiment. I'm hoping.
I think if I end up with another issue like that, I may take it out of my pull and put it back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Because
which issue is this?
Coda 1, All Hail 13.
Okay.
And it's not very confidence inspiring because I'm going to send you guys one of the attachments with the news story. This was, I believe, an image that went with some of the announcements, and it's looking a little grim for those of us who didn't like the liney faces. I do appreciate that Optimus Prime seems to have a really well thought out transformation scheme. It's very interesting. Like, there's tires in his chest sideways. The gas tanks are more integrated into his thighs. It's all Don Figueroa art. So, you know, the technical side of it's probably great. But in this cover that we're seeing, Hot Rod has again the face plates. Ironhide has similar face plates, although now his face looks at least a little bit more bulked out, which does help. But it's just not a style that I feel suits the G1 designs that well. Even if they are redesigned, it makes them look so fusion that it's hard to get behind. Because the reason why I dig the movie designs and why I feel the movie faces work myself is that their faces blend in with the rest of the design. Whereas in these redesigns, the faces feel like something added in after the fact.
Yeah.
To me.
Well, I think the rough thing is, and it kind of shows on all three of these, is you put shadow behind it to try and give it some detail, and it makes the things that aren't in shadow pop out too far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I suck at art. I could never draw anything near this level, but you look at, and hopefully this will get linked in either the show notes part or in the M4A, if you're lucky enough to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Prime's head, it's like two little glowy eyeballs and his face mask and then the helmet top.
Yeah, it's like the movie Hot Rod, eyes.
With both Hot Rod and Ironhide look like they have cyber goatees. And then like a or like a cyber Fu Manchu or something going on. It just doesn't work.
The part of it that I think messes it up the most is that the lips are highlighted so much. Yeah. And I mean, I'm certainly not someone who was on the oh my god, lips, fish lips prime bandwagon, but that having, you know, a character where their cheekbones are highlighted, their chin is highlighted, and their lips are highlighted just makes them look very disconcerting. It looks like pieces of their face have been removed. If the lips were dark, you know, and it was just like highlighted cheekbones, a highlighted forehead, and a highlighted chin piece, the silhouette to me wouldn't be quite as jarring, but having the mouth there as a pair of big white lips, you know, over some shadowed tech detail just looks so odd. And also, like, if you look at Hot Rod's fist or Optimus Prime's fist, their hands are still extremely, you know, smooth, like very smooth cybernetic flesh style, and it just makes the faces even more, you know, hard to connect with. And perhaps this is an attempt to make this more accessible to people who were brought in by the movies, but I don't think someone who was brought in by the movies would have any trouble with a smoother face design myself. I wouldn't understand what would put them off seeing smoother faces. Like, I understand that the smoother faces would look a lot sillier in a live action CG flick, but in still images, I don't know. I don't really get the idea behind this, and I'm not sure whose idea it even was. So it's very odd. We should actually move past Aaron, because this was all on me talking to Aaron. Hey, Lupus!
Hey, Vangelis!
Even though you talked a whole lot already, did you have anything you wanted to bring up in particular from the IDW panel?
Question. That I'm paying attention.
welcome!
Hi! So, the episodes that are issues that they're talking about with Jetfire and RC and Ravage, are those going to be like backstories in the movieverse?
I believe so. I think those were going to be called like Tales of the Fallen or something like that.
Okay.
Like I know so, the Fallen's getting one as well. It's basically more effort to flesh out a lot of the backstory that a lot of those of us who saw the movie's
just
like,
going to totally ignore anyway.
Yeah, but. Yeah, on the bright side, you know, if one was still interested enough in the movie to want to see backstory, and I count myself as one of those people, this kind of thing will at least, you know, on an individual basis, let one flesh out those characters a bit more.
I'm hoping that the RC one might explain how she went from being one unit to three, and maybe we'll actually see her as a combined form.
I will be very surprised if the explanation isn't in there, because it's... That's why I think you'd do a movie RC comic, is to go like, what happened? Like, especially after movie RC was fleshed out so much in the previous movie comics. Like, she's practically...
And then suddenly she's like, what? There's three?
Yeah,
what?
And like, in all the prequel comics and the comics that take place before the movies or in between the two movies, RC happens to be there quite a bit, I thought. And it was very odd for her to be... You know, suddenly three bots. I mean, I know that they probably weren't going like, how's this going to conflict with the comic book continuity when they were putting the movie together, but it would be nice to see.
They explain why her spine is external now? I'm happy.
after reading this, because this is really like the first time I've actually glanced at it, if they continue on with the stories that they're doing with All Hail Megatron, like, from what we saw of issue 13, I'd be happy with that. Mm-hmm. Again, we're getting like dual split artwork, which kind of makes me scratch my head because apparently they didn't learn from the first time they did Dinobots and All Hail Megatron. But hey,
everyone notices it.
I know. We're gonna make it really blatant now. So what's their deal with Jetfire being British? I thought he was Scottish.
Okay.
Very happy, bouncy Scotman.
Someone even commented on this, I think, in the last podcast thread. The toy is very clearly Scottish, and I don't think anyone's going to argue that. Yet, many argue that the movie performance was more Cockney. Having found out that Mark Ryan did the voice, having listened to Mark Ryan's Bumblebee in the game, I can actually agree it's probably more Cockney, because that seems to be his main accent that he does. But,
okay.
I don't know.
So, with the Ravage comic, are we going to see, like, little overkill or lots of, you know, vomiting
better.
Up?
I want that comic to just be the relationship between Ravage and Reedman, all about their forbidden love.
Does spend the better part of his existence inside Ravage.
Yeah, and then Ravage like, vomits him out.
I want you inside me.
Yeah.
In many, many, many little pellets.
And Reedman's like, "That's I've waited so long."
The Bumblebee story, I'm kind of hoping it might be something like Dreamwave did, where Bumblebee's like not really quite secure, but then he actually like takes out some big bad baddies. Get to see that really hardcore the fighter side of him.
Mm-hmm.
Provided that it's actually like not the Bumblebee. If it's a movie Bumblebee, I want more like cat skinning.
Oh well, going by the additional images on the thread, it looks like it's going to be a very G1 style Bumblebee.
Schwanky. But yeah, I really got to echo your sentiment about the really skeletal looking faces in All Hail Megatron 13. I mean, it threw me for a loop, especially when suddenly like G1 Optimus Prime has a mouth. Wait, what?
Yeah, that bit where he retracts his faceplate almost felt like it was written to be, "Hey guys, just so you know, the designs have been fused." Like, it was almost like a revelation thing.
It threw me out of the comic. It really did.
Yeah, and I really consider myself to be extremely open-minded. Like, you know, I'm one of the kind of people who you can throw the accusation, "Oh, you sheep, liking buckets of feces with Transformers written on them." But this was just, like, too much of a jarring combination of aesthetics for me.
Honestly, though, if I've got the choice, I'm totally grabbing everything from DC for Blackest Night right now. So that's going to be my top priority.
Well, for me, it's anything Cosmic Marvel right now. Guardians of the Galaxy War, The Kings, Nova, Darkhawk. That stuff is all awesome, and that is priority for me over my Transformers books.
Yeah, I haven't actually picked up that many of the IDW books lately, and I haven't really gotten the drive for it in a while. If they can really step up their game with these comics, then they might have me back, but...
Yeah. I got something I want to add at the end. I just realized I should wait till the end for that, though. Omegas, have you got any thoughts to drop on the panel?
Well, just a few things that haven't been covered, or just a little personal thoughts. For Transformers Bumblebee, I kind of get the same vibe I did when they announced the new cartoon was going to be called Wolverine and the X-Men. Like, thank God they finally acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that series a little bit, because Bumblebee, for as prominent as he usually is in the IDW verse, seems a little underplayed.
Yeah, I agree.
He doesn't... So I'm looking forward to a little bit of retribution there. Though I hope it's not like, okay, we're going to have 6 issues to go from, "Oh, gee, Optimus, I want to be just like you," to, "Holy crap, Bumblebee, you killed Sixshot."
Yeah, if it's too jarring, it's going to be way too much.
Yeah. Like, I want Bumblebee to have his moment, just not that big.
And hopefully they won't, you know, like, for the Marvel fans out there, they won't pull a Robbie Speedball on him and penance the guy. But I don't think we have to worry about that. Anyone who grew up on New Warriors like I did knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's what Gold Bug is.
Gold Bug is when he gets penance
stuff. Right.
Only he's still happy.
Well, his gold paint is like corrosive, and his faceplate is full of nails.
Now, when Bumblebee looks like the Coda artwork, that's Penance Bumblebee. And then when he's over in the Xander and Chi story, he's pre-Penance Bumblebee.
I can't get over that fusion style G1 characters. I looked at that shot and I went, "Wait, how's Rodimus Prime here?" And I kind of realized, "Oh,
I mean,
just Hot Rod with a hell of a lot of panel lines on his face."
I like how that Hot Rod design is very much like the Alternator's Rodimus. I mean, that's a cool touch. Like even down to the head design. It's just that like, these designs are all really cool, but the aesthetic, even though it is a more panel-liney and more broken panels G1 aesthetic, it still doesn't match up with the fully movie-styled faces, especially, and I gotta say again, making the mouths pop out so much, it just makes it look like they're wearing lipstick to me, and I've for a very long time tried to accept those things, because I really hate the idea of being a bandwagon, you know, dislike the thing everyone else dislikes. But honestly, it doesn't work for me. So,
no, it looks like they got their faces beaten with a hammer.
I'm really hoping that maybe there are just some renditions of that style that work way better than what we've seen, and maybe it'll pop out and redeem itself somehow. But for now, I'm not really feeling it. The one thing I wanted to bring up is that I was actually really disappointed when I heard that the way the panel closed was, by the way, we're gonna have Nick Rosh writing and drawing Last Stand of the Wreckers, and then the image for it being this awesome piece of Nick Rosh art, which is, you know, it's completely Nick Rosh. It's like Nick Rosh, Springer, and Perceptor, and Cup with the Cigar, but they all look like twice as cool as they did in All Hail Megatron because they're drawn by Nick Rosh. And it really annoys me to see Nick Rosh getting relegated to the end of a panel like that when I consider him to be IDW's star player right now. I like Don a lot, but, you know, Don has a lot of professional work going on. He can't devote himself entirely to Transformers, as far as I've read. And Nick Rosh is a guy who can write and draw his own stories, and they're good stories with good artwork. And I don't understand why Nick Rosh is so wasted by IDW. Like, I'd go so far as to say that he's wasted. It's always a shame when I see stuff like this getting, you know, just brought up as a footnote. That kind of bugged me. But I'm also just a massive Nick Rosh fan ever since I saw his stuff when IDW started. And he was the reason why I was so behind IDW, because it's like, hey, this is exactly what couldn't exist in the Dreamwave era. This is so good. And it's being pushed to the background again. It's not very inspiring for me. That said, something that I'm sure we can find some inspiration in would be new picks. So let's get that rolling. I think Omegas immediately teabagged something as his own. So why don't you share with us what that was?
I'm sorry, I don't normally call dibs, but this one I had to. That is the Mastermind Creation Night Morpher Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as our little fake version of Hearts of Steel Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably one of the most brilliant little fan designs I think I've ever seen in my life at this point.
If I may quote Venksta, I very much agree with the thing he said in the thread that this is very likely going to be 2009's City Commander.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have no doubt. It's one thing, because I love Locomotive Transformers, all two of them. So it's to see one of these old steam locomotives, it's incredibly epic. It's so well detailed for a fan-made product, and we just got like all the little accessories and gimmicks he's got. Like I love this little cannon in the back.
Yeah, and the lance.
The lance that hides in the cannon barrels, and the cannon barrels that turn into a jetpack, and it's just things within things within things. I love multi-use accessories, and he's got a ton of them.
Yeah, the moment I saw these pictures, I'm actually thinking that tonight or tomorrow I may go and pre-order him, in the hopes that I'll make up enough money to pay for him when he comes out. I got to see it, the company, I believe, who's releasing this, in conjunction with the customizer who designed him, brought a prototype to BotCon at their table, and I got a decent little peek at it, and it was, like, I didn't mess with it or anything, but the size and the sculpt were so impressive, and it does look expensive, but quite honestly, this looks like something that could, unless it gets marred with like a horrible material or something like that, I think this could conceivably be the garage item of the year.
Yeah, as long as it's City Commander quality plastic, I don't think we've got much to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's just, I don't know, I could go on and on about it. I mean, it's a little thing of gray beauty.
I'm terrifyingly excited about it. I can't wait to see a colored prototype. Let's move up the list. Lupus! We got a new pick.
See, I have got this week, sure will work, the Generations Volume 1 Electro Disruptor Ligier in package shots.
Oh, it's from Henke!
Yes, it is. And, after the fiasco of Gente Wild Rider, I made sure to already pre-order this sucker. So, no more little fiascos of trying to track that this one down. I really like this Mold in Black. I've got the, I want to say Crasher, but what was the movie release of this mold?
Fracture.
And then I have a custom one done in the style of Wheeljack's Leo Kaiser already. But the fact that it's black and clear, oh my god, I want this so bad. So that's my pick this week.
I was wondering how excited you would be for this. Did you pre-order the Ghost Starscream as well?
I already did.
No.
I'm not going to go through another fiasco of Wild Rider, which I'm still trying to find.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it eludes me to this day.
Bringing Henkei coverage to our podcast, our very own Lupus Convoy.
It will be mine.
Oh, man. Are you getting the book, too, or just the toy?
I'm getting both, actually.
Nice.
So, I figured that'll give me some more practice reading kanji and get to look at the pretty little pictures while I play with my pretty little toy.
Excellent. Aaron, have you got a picture pick?
For some reason, the Marvel crossover Spider-Man Iron Man 2-pack being released and seeing more of that. The Super Bomber! But it looks interesting. I just find it odd in any universe why Iron Man and Spider-Man be combining. But it's an interesting use of the line, I guess, is my thoughts.
I think the toy is based on like that, based on like pre-Civil War when they're like they're almost like the buddy superhero comedy thing.
Yeah.
I saw it at my local Toys R Us, and I actually almost bought it if it wasn't for the price. And then I got home and I was like, "Is this even out?" And then a day or two later, I saw the news post go up, and I was like, "Oh, it's now out."
But beyond that, about the only other thing that's caught my eye was a story down from that on the front page was more and more pictures of Human Alliance Sideswipe, and I guess he's actually technically out now, too?
In the US? Some places, yeah. I actually had something I wanted to bring up about him, but what do you think about the gallery?
Again, I'm thinking, why in the Hades did I buy Deluxus? Just dump another $25, $30 and get the better toy.
Well, I still think the Deluxe has a nicer look, but I really love Human Alliance Bumblebee, and I'd love to go completion on it, and I was worried, because Sideswipe looked to me like a weak link, in that I thought that he not only had big forearms, but I thought that he'd have gorilla elbows, where his palms would have to be up when his elbows are rotating forward.
Right.
But thanks to a video PR just posted about an arm gimmick of his, where you can have the, you click his hand down, and you can spin the wheel on his forearm to spin the blade on his wrist. It looks like he actually has full wrist posability, so he can just swivel his hand around, so I went from being very passé on the toy to basically wanting it now, entirely based on a wrist swivel. So that is how weak I am, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we knew it all along.
I know, but it's more confirmation for those of you who are keeping a list. I don't know, are any of you guys going to try to hunt it down, or are you thinking of just keeping your eyes out now and then?
I don't know. I mean, I might get it, but I have a feeling that my other half will grab it going, "Ooh, Spider-Man, mine." And it would be the first time. This, yeah. Anyway, what else?
I was talking about the Sideswipe. I forgot about the Spidey thing.
I thought that's what we were originally talking about.
We were, but we drift.
But Human Alliance makes Vangelis's mind go blank. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was insectoid bipeds.
Well, I really want tiny cross-eyed
Fs. Something else happened.
You don't want to know. Yeah, you don't want to know what goes through his mind after that.
You see, Human Alliance titillates my brain. Insectoid bipeds titillate my. Hey, did anyone else have something to say about stuff Aaron was talking about? Anyone? Cross-eyed Fs? Anyone want? Okay.
My brain hurts.
Well, I'll bring up something that I've been excited about since BotCon, which is that apparently the next issue of the TF Collectors Club magazine will have some developmental photos of the upcoming club exclusive Punch Counter Punch, who is the best character ever, and it's the most obvious use of a mold ever. I believe that ever since BotCon 07, when we didn't even see the mold, all we saw were some design pictures showing that Sideswipe and Sunstreaker would have a mold that could have an alternate torso transformation and turn into a sports car. Basically, the entire fandom said, hey, Punch Counter Punch.
Punch.
So,
yep.
I'm glad to see what is possibly the most obvious idea ever happen, because it's going to be so cool, I think. It looks like they're going to do up a head with a face on either side. My only worry is that the face on the back will be exposed, so that may be a downside, but the only other thing I'm curious of is how they're going to do the hands. They'd have to do up new hands for this guy, or you're going to have to pop them off every time you swap identities.
Well, the head could be fixed with a whole visor thing like they did with Energon Ironhide.
That's
the really annoying blue guy.
Yeah, well, that's how the G1 toy works. It's got a big dome helmet that goes back and forth.
And then the hands could be fixed with just folding the thumb into the center point rather than one side of the hand or the other.
Oh, definitely. That's the easiest solution, I think. I think the only thing that I find off-putting about that is it would mean also having to use a remolded part on his fists for a really minor thing. And then if we'd have to swap the fists, but it meant having a more intricately transforming head, I'd actually go for that over the fists, but...
How hard is it to pop them out, though?
Yeah, exactly. Not really. Like it's pretty easy. They just you push them from one side, and if I had to do that, and it would mean that the head would transform more, then I'd actually be more behind that. But I'm also just speaking from my hypothetical standpoint. I'm hyped. I hope my magazine comes in soon. I really want to see how this thing's going, and I also want to bring up. We just had something appear on eBay. The unreleased Generation 2 Protectobots, just the limbs. There's fewer than 6 examples known to exist, and the only AFA-graded example is now on eBay. Place your bets. Place your bets. How high is it?
If you couldn't afford them before, you really can't afford them now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can see why the AFA grading is a plus here, because these are toys you would really not want to have get damaged in shipping. So if they're encased in a vacuum-sealed plastic box, they're probably not going to get dinged in shipping.
You say that.
They'll find a way.
It's the U.S. Postal Service. It'll happen.
Just put a rivet gun against them.
I've had a package that looked like somebody sat on it and then kicked it and then
these
sat
are AFA on boxes! It. You can build houses out of AFA boxes.
This is a very large man that sat on it.
Okay. Last time we mentioned building houses out of toys, they went out of stock really fast, so let's not go there again.
There's only one this time. It's going to go out of stock the moment someone buys it. We can't affect the world this time, gentlemen. We have the freedom to speak.
That's what you think.
Lives will not be lost. Knock on wood.
Never know.
Anyway.
Well, the starting bid on that is $15,000.
What?
did you even click the link?
No, I was afraid to. That's the opening. This guy should have listed it for a penny. He's going to have to pay, like, how many eBay fees for this?
$15,000.
I mean, granted, it's a good way to secure your thing, but there's zero bids.
Who could afford this?
If this guy had put it up for like $5,000, he could have saved. I'm gonna guess he could have saved a lot of money on eBay fees. Unless someone can tell me that I'm completely wrong about eBay fees, then I understand. But my understanding is listing something for $15,000 means you're gonna lose a huge chunk of your profit paying the fees on that. Maybe he meant it to be $1,500 and he added a zero in the wrong place.
Dollars.
He's gonna be upset when he gets his bills.
Oh, it would have been. Yeah, it would have been funnier if he did the switching the prices around thing. So the starting bid is only $15. Shipping price is $5,500.
I mean, like, you could have listed these for a penny and they would have shot straight up to $5,000 within like 3 days, I'm really sure.
3 days?
I'm being generous because of our economy.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I guess this is actually a good time for an intermission, unless you guys want to say anything else about the auction.
The AFA ratings aren't even that high.
Really? What are they?
80, 70, 85, 75.
Lord.
Wow.
Not
AFA, AFA have no mercy. Only AFA graded version in history. What do you guys say? 70.
Let's give it a go.
I don't care if there's 55. Only six.
Like, do they know the history on these? I don't know. The cards don't look that bad, but I don't understand how the AFA works. So I
you know, it'd be hilarious though, is if this would be like the new box set to come out from the convention club. We just spent 15 me. Grand on this. Surprise!
It's not even complete.
That's the kicker.
Yeah, you pay $15,000 for these, and you still have to find Hotspot.
As far as I know, isn't Hotspot the one that's not known to exist? Like, I know there's a Motormaster, but I remember hearing that Hotspot possibly doesn't even exist in prototype form.
Well, there is the pictures of the full Defensor on the box, so you never know.
Yeah, what there I mean is, like, our known collector circuit, to my knowledge, have not found one. But I might be. If someone out there knows of someone who at least said they found one, let me know.
I just find the Hotspot hilarious because it's actually in like normal red colors, and I find that astonishing for a G2 combiner.
A red fire engine?
Sucker blue green!
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some of the Even Team's thoughts on the San Diego Toy Panel.
You kick. Micro transform. Transform. Rocket base ashin. Transformer 最大の基地が今動き出す。Transformer. Rocket base.
We're back, and it's time for us to give our even thoughts on the San Diego Comic-Con Transformers toy panel. So, let's not wait for any ado, further or otherwise, and I will run through the list. Lupus!
Give me Mind Wipe. Oh my god, that's... Oh. Yeah, it looks great. It's bat-like, but still real world, and absolutely love it. One thing I wasn't too thrilled with was the Jungle Attack Ironhide. Why do we have to have yet another Ironhide that's black?
It's for the guns!
I want it for
Shut
the guns!
He's an elf.
But I just don't want constant black Ironhide. I'd like a little bit of a color mix-up.
Green Ironhide.
Yeah. Just not all predominantly black.
I actually wanted to ask you a question, because as of this recording, Lupus has just got home and hasn't had a chance to listen to the late-posted episode 53. I have two questions for you, Lupus. Number one, did you know that the little scout called Sky Stalker, that little jet, can apparently dock onto Mindwipe's vehicle mode?
I did not, and that's so frickin' awesome.
Excellent. And number two, look at Mindwipe's robot mode. Does he not look like he's skiing?
He does. He looks like he's going down slalom.
And that makes him twice as awesome to me. I said that last episode, but I wanted to tell Lucas.
The question is, can I hang him upside down to make him that whole, like, bat-like, evil vampire-type thing?
If you've got the
strength.
That would just
make it awesome. Awesome! Fishing line! I need fishing line!
Yeah, Mind Wipe is
I just want to know why he has Cybertron Jetfire's head.
He stole it.
Yeah. He hypnotized him, and then he took his visor and his Aussie helmet. I don't know.
So he's an Australian vampire transformer? Okay.
Who skis?
With skis? Wait, you can ski in Australia?
You can when you're Mind Wipe. You hypnotize the hills into being snowy.
Ah, awesome.
Omegas, what have you got to say about this set of picks? Info.
Just took Mind Wipe from me. Some.
Well, you're the only one who teabagged something for new picks. I mean, it was bound to happen.
I'm sorry, locomotives just do that to me.
I'm sorry. Okay, I guess, that disturbed everybody. I guess I'll bring up the Deluxe Dirge.
We're on a cycle. I know no one's going to take what I want, because apparently we don't talk about
it. How does it feel? Yeah, I am really liking Dirge. I mean, I'm already in love with any jet transformer that doesn't use the cockpit as the torso.
Right.
Sorry, big points for me. And I love this, like, I will take over the world kind of pose that's in the picture that it just kind of sells the whole character for me, because it gives me like this Armada Thrust vibe.
Yeah, like, he's got the cone head too. And what I really liked about this picture is a Bakon, when we saw the gray prototype, it was just standing there, and it looked like that cockpit nose cone thing was actually protruding out of his shoulder, which I found a little worrisome posability wise. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see it's just an elbow detail.
Yeah, and it looks like he's got a balance on his side, so I'm really curious how he transforms. Mm-hmm. And if I can, since I have to pick half of one, I guess I can...
Yeah, before we start, I said, can you guys pick one and a half to talk about so we don't spend too long? And I worded it.
Well, it's already been brought up, so this is half. I'm defending that Ironhide. It's just so, not only overloaded with weapons, but I love the heavy-duty remolding on the doors. To actually make him look like a military vehicle now.
And I have no problem with the mold. It's just I want something else besides just black.
He's got lightning bolts or something.
Lightning bolts! Yeah, or whatever.
The last one had what? Dirt on it?
Dirt. Yeah, we got one in blue.
The last one had
dirt.
A beret on the door.
Oh, don't play with the blue one if you're so unhappy with black.
Yeah.
Let's have a fight. Over redecos.
Grr.
That's like twice as cordial as any disagreement I've seen on the internet in a long time. That was very impressive, guys.
We don't want Seth coming in here and getting all, like, heavy-handed.
I'll break balls in place of Seth Buzzard. Just give me a chance. I already did so, but no one's gonna catch it. Oh! Yeah, I think the only thing that I can say about Ironhide is, weapons aside, the only thing I find confusing about his deco, and we said this last episode, was that he's Jungle Attack, but he's camouflaged in lightning bolts.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what kind of jungles he hangs out in.
It's a rainforest.
Lightning jungles, hello.
I'm sorry, I don't travel enough to go to lightning jungles.
You should.
Some of us are affected by this economy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Aaron, while I'm talking to you, what would you like to talk about from this panel?
Well, since everybody else has stolen the upcoming ones, I'll go ahead and do it. Breakdown.
That's mine! Wow. And you know that's mine!
That's the only reason I'm doing it.
Cancel! Pick another one! Cancel!
Okay, fine. I'll pick this guy that looks kind of like a Stunicon.
Cancelled! Nullified!
Fine.
This is my null laser. This is it going pew! And that's the nullification.
Actual colored stuff on Wingblade Optimus Prime looks hot.
Yes!
That's one I cannot wait to get because... Not only does it work on its toy, but it also works on the Voyager and Zomg.
I'm really happy we got to see more pictures of it, because I had completely missed that the wing blade armor fists are part of the armor, and not just the fists of the toy.
Yeah, so it'll combine all the way around and look good, and then, I don't know, I'll go half a Brawn.
And is Caprius?
Huh?
He's totally wearing Capris.
Capris? So you have to say it in American, not you. Candavian.
He is totally Capris. Wearing Capris.
Oh!
He wears the Capris pants. Poutine.
But,
Poutine.
Yeah, it definitely a good, cool movie-style take. Ron.
That took us by surprise, because that wasn't even at BotCon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to get to the one that I teabagged, I want to just briefly talk about someone who we sorely missed in the last episode, someone who is deserving of an entire podcast himself, Breakdown. Let me just say, Breakdown, oh my god, he's a white car, okay? And he's a scout, and I stand amazed. I stand absolutely amazed. I have already pre-ordered like 50 breakdowns, and if I can just gush a bit more, okay? I appreciate that Breakdown, he's so cool. Like, every shot I've seen of the slideshow, when Breakdown showed up, been overexposed. He is definitely a guy with two arms and two legs, and he's got a red square on the front of his car mode. It's pretty cool. It's very reminiscent of a car that turns into a robot kind of transformer. And I'm really excited about Breakdown. Breakdown is really cool, and I'm very excited about him.
Okay.
I just wanted to let that soak in.
That was so thick I have to clean it out of my ears.
I wanted to let that settle in for you all. Just take a moment of silence there, back there, and let it, you know, let it soak in your pores a little bit. That's Breakdown. That's Breakdown, Scout. That's Breakdown!
See, from the overexposed pictures, I really didn't think that was a Scout. I thought that was a Deluxe.
Well, but it says Scout in large letters. So
I know, I just, that? I was like, okay, click, that looks great, yeah, click.
Maybe it's Scout Breakdown, maybe they couldn't get the name, come on. There are all these other things it could be.
To be honest, when I first saw the images, I didn't even think, oh, Breakdown, like the G1 Breakdown. I thought it was like one of the Power Masters from G1. Like, oh, okay, they did that character.
Obscure reference. That's not bad.
And in my defense, though, all the breakdowns that I've seen have always been like horribly yellowed.
Yeah. They're more of a vanilla mother of pearl, I find, than white.
Yeah.
Something also that we didn't mention in the last episode, I'll bring it up here for the sake of, you know, completionism. There are no plans for an animated Omega Supreme or anything else that we haven't seen already, which is no surprise to me. Sadly enough, no surprise to me. Also, the third RC bike is called Flare Up. Now, I did hear a rumor, and I have not actually been able to corroborate this. I heard that part of the reason why we learned the name was Flare Up was someone also asked if it would combine with Chromia and RC. At BotCon, we were told they will combine. It's taken out of the film, but the toys will combine. At the Comic-Con, I have heard, and if someone can confirm for me either way, I'd appreciate it, I've heard that they said, oh yes, it's called Flare Up. Sadly, it won't combine with the other ones. Which made me go like, so now that you've answered the name of the toy, you just had to add one more mystery so that we continue to await any pictures of this toy to solve the confusing enigma of its very existence.
Well, unfortunately, I've heard like three different stories now. There's that one, and then there's the story where, like, where we're looking at this, like, picture news post where it says, no toys planned, and then I've heard there is a third toy, but it doesn't have instructions on combining.
Yeah, it's extremely vague. I think the case is very, my personal hypothesis is it's very likely that there won't be instructions on how to combine them, but they'll have all the combination components just kind of in there, so you can just figure something out yourself. But yeah, I was kind of laughing when I saw that they just couldn't let Flare Up, you know, exist as a solid piece of concrete fact. Flare Up must forever be surrounded in mystery. I bet you when the toy comes out, it's just going to be like an empty bubble on a card.
Yeah.
It's going to be like,
stealth flare-up.
This is flare-up.
That good.
When you, no artwork.
When you open the package, the toy will be there. It's the Schrodinger toy. Oh, yeah. I also wanted to briefly bring up a little topic related to all this. Lupus and Omegas, you guys weren't at BotCon, so this is the first time you're seeing a lot of this stuff. The only thing shown here that Aaron and I didn't see were a lot of colored versions, and we never saw Brawn or Mindwipe, or the Human Alliance Mudflap, but generally this stuff is completely new to you guys. So, overall, do you feel positive about the coming year of toys? Or do you feel worried about the coming year of toys?
You want to go first, Omegas?
I am definitely looking forward to the next year or so of toys. Everything here looks very nice. It looks just the way I had hoped it would from the BotCon reports, aside from Bludgeon, but I'm not getting into that one.
Are you going to be the one guy who's going to stand against Bludgeon?
Probably.
Sweet.
I'm sorry, he's got movie-verse arms and legs, and then animated-style chest and head. It doesn't work for me.
I knew someone out there was going to be the one, because everyone was going on lockdown. I was like, I'm surprised everyone's still kind to Bludgeon.
No, I'm sorry, Bludgeon, you stand over there in the corner. I'll get to you when I feel like it.
Ouch. But for the,
there's going to be posts for the, in this thread.
I'm controversial, damn it.
Not as controversial as Lupus, but it's on the side.
Right.
Wait, I'm controversial?
Mr. Crazy Psycho Death Harry Potter rant, Lupus.
Wow. Okay.
Did you read? You haven't seen the thread, have you?
No.
You have to read the threads for the last couple episodes, dude.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay. I'm sorry, listeners.
I thought you'd read it and you just, like, let it slide.
No. I've been busy with this project.
All right, to drop him one more time. D-Mouse, I promise you that Lupus will read the thread.
I will.
By the time this is Anyway.
I'm gonna go to hell for this one, aren't I?
That's quite a tangent.
Oh, okay.
It's all innocently like, no, I haven't read the thread. I'm sorry. Anyway, please continue.
Okay, yeah. I like Bludgeon. Yay! It's great to see a bunch of this new stuff. And while I was saying no, I'm not going to be buying that much movieverse stuff, it's growing on me like a fungus. So seeing some of these figures and their really awesomeness and their unique transformation schemes and all that Human Alliance goodness. I'm not going to have a wallet. I think it's already imploded.
Dude, the Human Alliance stuff is going to kill me because I'm going to have to import it all because they're each going to cost $50 up here.
Could just get those of us in the States to hook you up.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. When I say import.
Yeah, that's what importing is.
Yeah.
Remember, when people in the States buy me things, that technically is importing for me.
Or we just give you a whole bunch of them when you come by for a visit?
That could work, too. Of course, it'd be even better if people would just, like, send them to me randomly. For free.
No subtle hints there, huh?
Sorry, I'm still feeling goofy because of the revelation that you aren't aware of the ramifications of the Harry Potter section.
I've never heard someone
so amused by ignorance.
I could have sworn, like, I kept thinking, like, oh, man, Lupus must be, like, wigged out by this. He's not saying anything. I'm sorry. Hey, let's move on to what we got this week. Sup, guys? Let's start off with Aaron. Aaron, what did you get this week?
I am also a recipient of an Optimus fan cliff jumper.
Woo!
I am happies. I already had the Bumblebee, so the mold isn't terribly new except for the epic chin of epicness.
It's where he stores his intelligence.
Yeah. That's worth the price of admission. Almost a chin of Bruce Campbell proportions, but not quite.
Did you pick up anything else?
Then also on Monday? It must have been Monday. I got a package from Canada from GM Fan, and in it were two Chevy Aveos, one for me and one for Gerardimus. And hooked me up for that, and wow, cool mold. I feel sorry for all the people unable to get this or that may have their stuck
Oh, that's all right. I'm pretty sure anyone who's morally abiding wouldn't have theirs stuck in some kind of karmatic backlash of seizures. But are you enjoying Swerve? Or?
Oh yeah. It's like he's a big scout or small deluxe. I've got him currently posed in like a Danielson crane position, balancing great on one foot because he has a super solid, like, swivel. He's got big feet and this super solid swivel ankle where it's not a ball joint, it's just a pin joint.
Hmm.
But I can set him up so that his center of gravity is over top of that so easy that I have I can have his leg, like, doing ballerina poses, but since he can kick his ankle over and it's solid enough, it's not like it's something where you have to find that one spot that it balances.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that's really cool. And his legs do a really neat, like, double flip. The whole backside of the car kind of turns around, like, flips around twice to make his lower leg. So it's definitely... It still amazes me that GM commissioned this mold, and some of the aspects of the transformation just haven't been seen elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's cool, it's fun, it's awesome.
Oh, that's
cool. Other than that, 250 gig external hard drive because my 125 gig internal got filled up with episodes of stuff that we probably ought not talk about.
And it's certainly not my fault in any way.
No, has nothing to do with you and your, oh, look at this cool toy. Don't you want it?
Yeah, I'd never do that.
And my weak willpower saying, no, yes.
Lupus, what did you pick up this week by chance?
I also got hooked up by GM Fam 101 with a lovely little Swerve.
Good lord, and you too?
Yeah, well, it wasn't just me. I got one for Gary Optimus Scourge, and I made him dance for it, so.
Excellent.
See, yeah, I just threw mine at Drodimus's head.
Oh, no. See, I promised that I would make him dance. He danced like a little monkey. Held it up in front of him going, dance, dance! But yeah, I absolutely love this little mold. So thank you so much, GM Fan. Yes. I owe you big time. And Gary actually stopped by my house, and we did a whirlwind trip of the Portsmouth area and hit two Walmarts and a Toys R Us and a couple Targets, and we ended up getting... He got the two Ice Cream Twin... set and a Jolt. Ooh. And I managed to grab a Jolt for myself, and I actually like him from the waist up, and from the waist down I have to kind of wonder what happened to those legs and who got really, really, really lazy.
They didn't have any extras, did they?
No, fortunately. I'm sorry.
Big pouty lip.
If I find one, I will hook you up.
Awesome.
Wicked.
I don't know why. Both Jolt and the Ice Cream Twins are like the insane level of need. for no good reason.
We were looking for RC for RC, actually. Fortunately, we could not hook her up with one. But
damn.
I know. But yeah, we were at the store, and Gary saw the Ice Cream Twins and grabbed it, and he ran off, and I'm like, oh, look, Jolt! He did this whole, like... sudden stop, you could hear his feet screeching against the tiles, and he was like, what? Jolts? And then, whoosh, run back for it. So that's what I got this week.
Wicked. Omegas, I'm sure you can finish off the hat trick, so what'd you get this week?
Sorry, I'm gonna go cry now.
I don't understand. This was completely unprepared on my part.
I hate the Canadian postal system.
Why? Why ever for?
I mean, the only damn person around here that actually had got there stuck in the freaking mail.
You mean that customs is holding on to your swerve? Good lord. Please, good lord.
Okay. I need an innocent victim to strangle, I swear to God.
Sadly, I am not innocent in any way. But, did you find anything else this week?
Nothing else matters.
Oh, Aaron, did you have something you wanted to
going
say?
Going to
this.
Hey, you all!
Well, if it's any consolation, I didn't get a swerve this week either. Back when the swerve was showing up, I had set up a deal with someone who sadly appears to have dropped off the face of the planet. I didn't get scammed because I didn't even get to the stage of knowing how much money to send the fellow. So, having found that bit of enigmanous to the whereabouts of my own getting a swerve, I've contacted some people, and hopefully we'll figure something out. But I did get something else this week!
Hold it, I'm not done.
Oh, I thought you said swerve is all that matters!
Swerve is all that matters, but it doesn't mean it's not the only thing I was expecting.
I did the only thing I got. Oh. Well, what else did you get, then?
No, Sick Metal, who shared a birthday with me a couple weeks ago, was nice enough to send me his spare G1 Gnaw.
Oh, so you got a pudgy little tooth man?
Yeah, I got a pudgy little frog shark.
Excellent.
Which he promised me was the first G1 toy I was going to Plastic Addict, and I think he misses the point of why I don't do G1 toys. But I really like Sharktacon, so I'm not going to complain.
You should do a really forced one. I honestly hate this toy, I do! Video's over.
Jeez. I gotta figure out some way of shooting in 1987 quality video so I can do a age-appropriate review for him.
Really grainy? Bad dubbing?
Grainy, yeah. I almost wish it was like an early 90s toy so I could do like the whole very small, jumpy webcam shot.
Oh, that's wicked.
You could record it onto beta and then play it back.
Yeah. Or on an old, really messed up VHS. It's been recorded on like 100 times already.
I think it's
that
doable.
Tracking error kind of floated around.
Yeah. I can't really review it until I get a tail and gun for it, though. So anyone out there got a spare, let me know.
All right, the call's been put out. Omega's Prime needs Gnaw accessories.
I need some tail, people.
Give him some tail. So is that all you got this week?
Yeah, that's about it.
May I continue?
I got a non disappointment.
Wicked. Well, the things that I did get, one of them actually came from Gary Optimus Scourge. He found me a scalpel. So I now have Zidoctor. And I have to say that the transformation is ludicrously fun. Thank goodness, because the transformation is the only thing I can really do with the toy. He's surprisingly a brick in robot mode, despite having 6 ball joints across his legs. And then 6 more ball joints across the middle point of his legs. The problem being, none of those joints are at the base of the leg, so all he can really do is curl up his legs and then fall down.
So, it's like real biology. If you have 12 balls, you really can't walk.
Exactly. Everything just bumps into one another, and you get this massive, like, no good! Fall over. He can move his neck up and down, and he can wave his little arms, and his little arms have elbows, which helps. But I would consider all that more kind of like bonus posability. He doesn't really have any base posability that lets him look a lot different than he does in any other pose. Although he does have a neat thing in that since he doesn't seem to have any real preset way to put his torso in alignment, he can have his torso, like, standing up over top of his body, or he can have it folded down and forward so he's, like, leaning forward. So I find him a very interesting figure, and because his transformation is so fun for me, I do have to give him props. If his transformation was boring or annoying, though, I'd really be coming down on the guy. But I quite like how his transformation works, especially how compact his microscope mode is compared to his robot mode, which is surprisingly big with the legs. And thanks to a kind Samaritan who I believe our very own Super Underscore Megatron and several others have met at BotCons. She's known only as Vangelis's mom.
She's epic.
Through complete and utter chance, thanks to her, I have a Ravage, which apparently was buried under a pile of Chromias in a distant Toys R Us somewhere in another part of BC. So I now have Ravage, and he's pretty cool, and I'm going to be the one who says it. I like his vehicle mode, because Ravage's little reentry vehicle mode submarine fish thing looks to me exactly like every G1 first run Pretender vehicle mode. And
yes.
A lot of those Pretenders are toys I grew up on. I have a soft spot for the pod with guns, wings, and robot bits hanging off it modes. So really, I dig the vehicle mode. I think it's pretty cool. And I like that it has parts that lock together. I would be way hard on it if it was a case of simply positioning the limbs, but since the limbs have their own locking hinges, their own sockets and things, their own, you know, lock-in points, I give this thing way more credit. And that said, I do wholly understand why someone would not like the vehicle mode, because if you don't have any attachment to the original Pretender's vehicle modes, or you just think they look dumb, then you're probably going to think this looks dumb. But his cat mode is neat with all the joints, way more poseable than I expected, and even the guns are super poseable. So the only real downside in his cat mode to me is that for all that poseability, his back legs could have used one more joint. He has a pointless ball joint in the middle of his torso that doesn't really do anything. And his head can't pose! If he had a neck joint, he'd be perfect! And that's a downside. But generally, I'm way happier with him than I expected. And as a huge bonus point, Human Alliance LaBeouf's head fits perfectly inside his mouth. As you can hopefully see in one of the chapter pictures on this episode.
Hold on. Verifying. That's what happens when you have, like, 50 toys scattered around your desk, and... Yes.
Yeah,
bite down on it.
I took a picture of it, and Mushroom Prime gave a comment that literally had me in stitches at the time. It might have just been the time of night, but his only comment was that LaBeouf's neck must be made of cast iron steel to support his entire body weight like that, and it gave me a laugh.
Well, here, I am holding onto his foot, to the mini Shia's foot, and Ravage is hanging off of him with some rather vigorous shaking, so...
Tiny LaBeouf has an iron neck, clearly.
Yes.
I'm just going to link you guys the picture while we're talking. I got to say, though, Ravage really impressed me. And I'm happy to have found him because my area, I've seen many interrogator barricades and cannon bumblebees. So I know Ravage has been around here. And I have no interest in those other two toys. So I feel satisfied now. Anyway, that's what we got this week. I think we can move on to our final topic for the day. Our listener question period. We've got one from Action Master Zod, so let's hear from him.
Hello, it is me, Action Master Zod, your father and mine, coming at you with a question for your podcast. The question is, did you have any bad habits with Transformers growing up as a kid, such as burying them in sand, filling them with water, or submerging them in your bathtub? I look forward to hearing your answers.
And we're back! The question is basically, what did we do to our toys when we were kids? To be honest, I didn't really do anything too regrettable to mine, bad habits-wise. I definitely didn't chew on them that much or stick them in sandboxes or throw them in water. I had a transforming robot boat, but it was actually a bath toy when I was little, so it was meant to be in water. I think the worst thing I did was I constantly would pull the rubber tires on and off and then lose them. Also, mixing all the accessories together in one massive box, so I'd have grand time trying to decipher it all decades later. And I think I used to peel stickers, too, when I didn't like them, and that kind of left messes. But that's about it as far as mine. I was an overly careful child. I guess I'm a natural caretaker, filled with empathy for even inanimate objects. Aaron, how would you answer the question?
My early stuff, not a whole lot. I did play outside with them a lot, and I think I may have, over the years, lost an accessory or two. Like over the years back then, not like since then.
Just yesterday I was crashing them together.
My original, I have two Computrons. I have the one that I got and had to beg, borrow, and cry to get all pieced together as a wee one that has a few broken pieces, a few missing, you know, that's the one that has the most missing pieces out of anything. That, it's like scattershots, leg wings broken off on one side, that sort of thing. But for the most part, I didn't have a ton of Transformers. Mask, though, that's another story. If it was supposed to be in the water, I put it in the water. If it was, I mean, I didn't, like, make too many jets try and fly by themselves, but those toys took a lot of the abuse of my youth, and then my brother took it even farther. And my little brother, if it had wings, he tried to make it fly, and then was surprised when it didn't fly, so he'd try to make it fly again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, till it didn't have wings anymore. So it didn't need to fly, I guess, so.
It flew like a rock.
Yeah.
Okay. Omegas, as someone who's been subject to my infinite empathy and totally understands that I'm a caring person, have you got an answer to the story?
I destroyed mine.
My empathy!
I am guilty of one of the ones he suggested in his question, which was, they ended up in the bathtub with me when I was little. And I pretty much blame the three-part first episode for having so many damn water scenes. I'm sure I spent the better part of my childhood reenacting the Hoover Dam battle. But that's more minor. I grew out of that relatively fast. What I had trouble with is I had a tendency to take my Transformers anywhere I would go. Mm-hmm. Which any time I was away from the house for more than an hour, I'd usually grab something to keep my tiny little impressionable brain occupied. And this resulted in many incidents, one of which I lost the head of my Skull Cruncher not once but twice at my babysitter's. And I would end up leaving a lot of them in my grandmother's house. And when she saw a toy on the floor and me not within 10 feet of it, she thought, ooh, he's done with it, sold it.
Ooh.
Because she loved her yard sales every weekend.
You surrounded yourself with your toys at all times, kind of like a personal bubble of, this is mine.
Yeah, but I ended up losing the better part of my childhood G1 collection for it. I'm still reconstructing it, trying to remember all the cassettes I had.
Oh, Lupus, how would you answer the question?
Well, I live in New England, and I've lived between here and Northern California for most of my life. We didn't necessarily have sand pits that we buried our toys in, but, I was known when I was younger to bury my Rock Lords in snow piles. And come the plow, there was bits of boulder all over the road.
Oh dear.
So you'd find an arm here, an arm there, and wow, maybe I could put it back together. No. after that, I was really, really careful with my toys, and I'm pretty sure I still have a sizable collection in Massachusetts and in California right now.
Of Rock Lord Gravel?
Rock Lord Gravel and G1 toys. I'm pretty sure the G1 toys are still in one piece, but that could be debatable. And then I was a pretty bad kid about realizing that I had a dog, and the dog necessarily wasn't fully trained on how not to chew on toys. So I lost quite a few Megazords that way. other than that, I was one of those kids that didn't have too many toys, and when I did have them, I tried to take care of them.
Oh, okay.
Can't say the same thing for my sister, but...
I was actually kind of expecting... I find that a lot of people who still are into collecting figures and toys and whatnot these days tended to be careful kids back then. I mean, of course there are exceptions, but it's oddly common how many careful kids there were in the collector circuit now. It's almost like we knew.
If only we remembered to keep the boxes and not take them out.
Well, that was with my mask stuff for a long time. I still had all the boxes. I mean, they got rough play, but they got kind of put back, like set back in their boxes, so that they'd all have all their stuff.
Hmm.
So maybe I did have that bit of
I certainly
anal retentiveness.
No. I certainly didn't have it.
The irony is that said babysitter that I lost Skullcruncher's head at twice also had a stepson, which was like the first time I'd ever seen a Transformer collector that took care of his stuff. You know, like, it's all in, like, plastic bags and stored away in boxes, and, oh, I should really be taking better care of mine, shouldn't I?
Now, what happened to that head?
What?
I don't know. You know what's, you know, those are the two pieces in G1 I need. I need some tail and I need some head.
And you need it to be on your bed.
Yeah.
What better way to end that section than with a rhyme? So we hope that answered your question. Action Master Zod, the AmZod, on YouTube. And I guess that brings the episode to a close, although now that we're talking about packaging, I want to briefly mention I did some searching on eBay for fun for reasons, and I discovered that apparently if I'd kept my Super Nintendo games unopened in their shrink wrapping, I could sell them for several $1,000 now. I did not know such a scene existed. I'm sure a lot of you guys listening did, but wow. I just want to say that right now. This is a bit of a random tangent, but when you mention keeping the boxes, that immediately jumped to mind. We toy collectors have nothing box wise on what the video game collectors have.
Oh, I just got railed by a friend of mine because I sold a copy of I think it's Mega Man X3 for like $10.
Oh my god!
Yeah. No one told me. Okay.
I only found out about it just in time to not think of selling some Super Nintendo games.
Should probably find all my old stuff and pay off bills then.
Yeah, in this age of emulators and whatnot, you know, it's a viable option. You won't lose the game. Anyway, before I go off on a weird tangent like that, I'll just say thanks for listening. Aaron, Lupus, Omegas, how are you finding this new year of podcasting?
Well, I haven't had any computer uprisings yet, so sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's not been bad this past second year, all week and a half of it so far.
It's going by fast.
Well, I guess until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Vangelis, it's been Aaron, Lupus, and Omegas, and we'll be coming at you on the flip side. Now it's time for all of us to get in the same bed.
Hey, that's not in my new contract for this year.
We get paid for that.
It's in my contract that it's in your contract, so.
Get on my lap.
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.